when I am undone, when I am broken, when I am ruined, my only response is, God, take these pieces. Use them for your glory.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, one of the phrases we say around here a lot is, all for the praise of God's glory. Ever thought about this, that everything that God does, yes, everything, is all for the praise of His glory? We're super pumped about today's program because we are going to talk exclusively about God's glory. Let's take our Bibles together right now and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 8, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Are You Undone?
I think this is why the American church is so impotent today. And the me-centeredness has so just infatuated us. Because we're not seeing the glory of God. Because if we truly see the glory of God, if you are really in the presence of the glory of God, do you think you or I are really going to stand there in His presence and go, God, here's what I want? Who in their right mind would do that? See, God wants us to be undone. Look at verses 5 through 7 as we get into the meat of this. It's Isaiah's reaction to God's splendor. He's being cleansed. Look at verse 5. So I said, here's his response. So God comes on the scene through this great vision. He shows off his glory. And there is a response. We have a response, don't we? We can respond to say, okay, I'm humbled. I'm seeing God for who you really are. Therefore, I'm going to be undone, or we can live in pride and rebellion. But I know from His word, it says this, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That opposing in the Greek means this, God is in direct opposition to the person that's proud in His presence. You talk about asinine behavior. That we're somehow going to be in God's presence and be prideful and arrogant and still ask Him to bless our plans. Wow. Tell me how that one works out. No, when we're undone, we are simply undone. Woe is me, it says. For I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For my eyes have seen the King. The Lord of hosts. Woe is me. I am undone. That undoing is a deep sense of depravity, a emptying of self, a realizing one's unworthiness compared to God. The blinders and the scales have been removed, and Isaiah sees the holy awe and glory of God. That's why I believe one of the greatest challenges in our American culture, especially inside the American church, is the battle against apathy and indifference. I don't know and I don't care. Just as long as my plans are being blessed, I'm good. And God preaches a whole other message through His word. He's like, I'm going to use your pain to further my gospel. Remember what Paul said there in Philippians? Paul said this, that because of my sufferings, and I'm paraphrasing here, but because of what I'm enduring, the whole palace guard sees God's glory. Do you know how many at times were in that praetorium guard? Thousands. There were thousands of men in that guard. And Paul's saying, look, the sufferings that I'm enduring, that I'm in chains for Christ, I'm in these bonds for Christ. There's purpose behind my pain. That my pain has purpose. I'm not wasting this. No, I'm using this as a billboard, as a flashing neon sign, so that those around me would see how great and glorious my God is. Are you undone? Even right now, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, is He bringing to light things that need to be undone in your life? Attitudes of the heart, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, jealousy, unconfessed sin. On and on we could go. Is He speaking, the Holy Spirit right now? Is He speaking? Is He illuminating your heart to be undone? When we are totally gripped by the glory of God, we will be undone. God's glory meter is not dictated by your and my circumstances. Let me say that again. God's glory meter, if there was such a thing, like, you know, like full, three quarters, half. His glory meter is like not dictated based on my circumstances. No, His glory is just glorious, full, all the time. So why should my joy be equally dictated on my circumstances? See, our joy is not tethered to our circumstances. That's happiness. Happiness is dictated by how things are going. Well, I'm happy. Well, I'm not happy. Joy is from a heart that has been radically rescued, radically changed, radically gripped, radically undone by the glory of God. And what happens is, even if my chains are producing great affliction, even if I'm about ready to be poured out as a drink offering, we can say like Paul said, oh, the gospel is going forth because my pain always has purpose. That's hard to do though in the flesh, amen? That's why key number one, if you're taking notes. If I'm going to be undone, I must first see who God is. I mean, if you're here today and you're like, okay, Holy Spirit's speaking to me. Like, He's got a bullhorn in my ear right now. If you're going to be undone, and this is not overly complicated, but you first got to see who God is. Remember Peter, that he was out there fishing, and Jesus came to him, and professional carpenter begins to tell professional fisherman how to fish. Remember that? That's comical, isn't it? There's Jesus. He's carrying around a hammer. You know, and Peter's got his 22-foot bass boat with a 250 on the back of it and all the rods. Not really. But he's out there fishing, and Jesus is like, here, go do this. Go launch out into the deep where you have nothing to trust but me. You can't lean on the shore any longer. Go out in the deep. And finally, Peter does it after bellyaching, complaining, and rationalizing. And what happens? He catches such a great catch of fish that not just one boat begins to sink because it's so heavy with fish, but two boats. And his response there in Luke 5:8 is, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Peter became undone. See, Jesus in His glory elevated, and Peter goes, boy, I'm not the sauce I thought I was. Job, remember Job said there in 42, 5 through 6, Job had a hard go, didn't he? I mean, you think about being a man or a woman after God's own heart, where God goes, here, have you considered my servant? And then you put your name in that blank. Who wants to sign up for that one? Yeah, I know we're all ducking down in our Bibles after that question, aren't we? I don't want that one. I don't want to stand anywhere near that one, right? Here's what Job said, 42, 5 through 6. I have heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Do you see this? Humility always precedes God being glorious in your life, period. Humility, that's it. It's a humble heart that goes, man, I'm undone. I'm undone. God, use me for your praise. Use me for your glory. But then verses 6 and 7 go on to say this as we wrap into the last part of this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal. There's a purification going on here by this fire, which he'd taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Let me ask you a question here. And this is not a trick question, not a trick question. What typically do prophets do? They speak. Do you find it interesting that he took the coal from the altar? What do we do on altars? Man, that's where we lay our sacrifices, right? And maybe here today, maybe even right now, as the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you're beginning to become undone, and he's like, you know, you need to lay that Isaac on the altar. That Isaac that's in your mind right now, that's in my mind right now for me, that God's going, you got to lay it on the altar. You know, why, God? It's important to me. God's like, precisely, when it's more important to you than I am to you, you need to lay Isaac on the altar. Do you see? He's purifying Isaiah for his prophetic calling. His sin has been purged. His iniquity has been taken away. But aren't you so glad that we don't come to Jesus and he looks at us and says, well, I partially cleaned you up. I wish I could have done more. Man, you were a tough case. I've seen some bad ones, but wow. Woo! Never seen one like you. Praise God. That no matter what you've done today, don't miss this, no matter what you've done, the sin, the shame, the guilt, the addiction, I don't care what you've done. I know this from my Bible, that the grace of our God through his only son, Jesus Christ, is deeper and greater than your greatest sin. There is no one too far away from the grasp and the reach of the grace of the great God of the Bible. Are you undone? The tongs took the coal and they touched his lips. They purified. Spurgeon said it like this. Jehovah, who is a consuming fire, purification, can only fitly be served by those who are on fire, whether they be angels or men. God spoke this into my heart. I made this note. Isaiah is not distraught and undone by the purifying, the sin purging, although that's good. He needs that. We need that. He's undone by the revelation of the holiness and the glory of God compared to him and his personal indwelling sin. Do you see what it says there? He says, for my eyes have seen the Lord's. See, when we begin to see God for who he really is, we begin to see us for who we really are. Let me say that again. When we begin to see God for who he really is, I'm not talking about the sanitized American church version of Jesus. I'm talking about who Jesus really is. Tell me who God really is. I mean, contrary to your weatherman, God is not the big man upstairs. He's not Mother Nature. In our hookup, uncommitted culture, he is not our friend with benefits. He's not some genie in the bottle, that cosmic Santa Claus, divine butler, here's my wish list, make it happen, and do it quick. No, it's God's glory. Just his glory. I believe we will touch a world and change a world with suffering as we press into God's glory, much more than if we don't have suffering and God just gives us everything we ask for. Because in the midst of that, they're going to see that we're only going God's way because he's blessing us. And if we begin to crave God's blessing more than we crave him, we now begin to live in idol worship. God, I just want your blessing today. Well, that's a good thing. I want his blessing too. But I know this, if all I have is his blessing and I don't have him, I don't want his blessing. I want him. Are you undone? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, what is it? He is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us, to pardon us, right? That's good. We love that. But he goes even further to cleanse this, to, in the Greek it means this, to purify, to take tainted, dirty, filthy substance and completely make it whole again, to restore it better than it was before. That's what God does through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His blood. That if you're under that blood today, truly under that blood, God does not look at you anymore as the filthy sinner that we really are in our depravity. He looks to the covering and the blood of the sinless Savior. And as He looks to the blood says, John is now spotless. You put your name in there if you're under that blood. You are now spotless. Man, when we begin to understand the price that was paid, that a holy God had to exterminate and take that sin and remove it, and He did it by placing it on His only begotten Son, how do you get out of that scenario? How do you get out of that equation and go, yeah, God, Your glory, well, that's pretty neat. I mean, how do you get out of that situation with only one response going, God, You're it. And even if You don't go my way, I'm going Your way. I mean, that will begin to get people to rise to their feet, won't it? Because if we're only following Jesus as long as He goes our way, we are really not infatuated with His glory. We're really infatuated with our own glory. And God says this, I will give My glory to none other. I am the God who created darkness. I created light. I, God, do all these things. And that's why lastly in verse 8, it says this. And here's the clarion call to us today. What is our true response going to be? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. So he's hearing the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God didn't first say, who will go? He said, whom shall I send? See, every true believer in Jesus Christ has gifts and abilities and talents, and there's a call on your life. All of us are called to go minister. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, as you are going, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, comma, and don't forget this, and Jesus said this in red, and lo, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. If you are a person today that says, yes, I am under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a minister of the gospel, period. No exceptions, no loopholes, no fine print of the contract going, well, let me slip out of this one. I wanted the fire insurance, but I didn't want to do anything. No, when you really become radically rescued, you now want to please the one who enlisted you. Paul even told young Timothy, endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For those that are engaged in warfare, do not become entangled with the affairs of this life, that they may please the one who enlisted them, period. See, Paul was undone, wasn't he? Man, you see Jesus on the Damascus Road? Man, you pull here today, and if you see Jesus on Dale Mabry, man, I know this, you're going to be undone. My fear is so many people have claimed to see Jesus. So many people have claimed to see Jesus, but they never became undone. And you never have a true encounter with Jesus and remain the way you were before. A genuine, true encounter where it's real is radical, and it grips the heart, and it rips the heart wide open, and he lays you metaphorically on that table, and he opens you up and has heart surgery, and he goes, wait a minute, we're not doing a bypass. We're not doing a triple bypass. We're doing a heart transplant is what we're doing. And every true believer in Jesus Christ gets a new heart. Because my heart is diseased apart from the blood of Jesus. We got to become undone. Whom shall I send? It's a divine calling. And who will go? Who will I send? Now who will go for us? The capital U there and the S, us, the Trinity. I believe that wholeheartedly. That's what's being said there. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Who's going to go? That's why your last key is this. When I am undone, my response to God is to take my life and let it be. Let me say that again. When I am undone, when I am broken, when I am ruined, my only response is, God, take these pieces. Use them for your glory. I love the thought of He's first emphatically available. You notice this? Whom shall we send? Who will go? His response isn't, well, you know, I got a couple appointments next week, but once I get those cleared up and if no one else has stepped in, I'll drive the church bus. Man, he's just like, here am I, send me. Boy, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember back in Luke 5? Remember back in Luke 5 where a professional fisherman was being taught how to fish by a guy with a hammer? And the response was simply this, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And it says this, for they forsook all, Luke 5:11, and they followed him. You know what they did, don't you? They took their livelihood, those boats, and they parked them on the beach and said, we're in, we're done. We're parking these babies here. We're following you, Jesus. And oh, by the way, have you ever considered this? They had two boats full of fish. I don't know, did they have a fish fry? Maybe they did. They might have had the world's biggest fish fry on that beach before they left their boats. But perhaps, maybe perhaps, they even left God's blessing on the shore.
We don't like that one, do we?
Because our Americanized culture says it's all about me. And from Genesis to maps, God says, it's all about me. I ask you a question, are you undone? Like today, if he goes, I want you to go and do X, and X is going to cost you everything, is your response, here am I, send me. I have four kids, I love my kids. Man, they are great kids. You know, people see my kids. I got two in college, and then I got two that are still at home, and they're like home, like younger home, not like living in a basement eating peanut butter sandwiches home, but you know what I'm talking about. They're home, though. And so it's amazing because here's the deal. Like, everyone, they see my kids, and they go, man, they're great. And I'm like, man, they got a great mother. I mean, seriously, man, if you met my wife, you'd be like, and all God's people said, amen. You know what I mean? Like, if I was supposed to give like one of my kids for like any of you, I've already prayed about it. That ain't happening. Love you. I think you're great. But that's not happening. Like, period. And yet God, through His only Son, aren't you glad He didn't look at me and look at you and say, think you're good. Think you're great. But Jesus, I'm not giving Him for you. No, He did just the opposite. He said, I have to give Him so He can do the one thing that you can never do, and that's free you from you. And He delivers Him up, and He executes Him, and He mars Him beyond recognition. So that you and I would not have to pay that price. If He says today, I want you to lay every Isaac in your life on the altar, is your response simply, here am I, send me? Is there going to be a lot of pain in that offering? Yes. From personal experience, I can tell you, it's going to be just tremendous pain. But what's worse is disobeying God's. I mean, if you're living in disobedience, trying to hold on to comfort, if you're living in disobedience, holding on to your Isaacs, if you're living in disobedience, holding on to me-centeredness, you will never get to the end going, wow, that was worth it. You will get to the end going, wow, I'm living with deep regrets. That's why we exhort one another today that our hearts would not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, that we choose this day whom we would serve. There's humility here. There's flexibility. There's usability. And the humility and the flexibility and the usability always precedes the sending. The only way that we'll become undone for God is that we'll be undone for His glory. And His glory and your obedience is better than any other options in front of you today. That's why Abraham, when he laid Isaac on that altar, Romans 4 tells us this, that he was fully convinced. Hebrews 11 tells us this, that he knew that God was able. And that when God asks you to faith him, understand this, that this is the God that in the beginning God, this is the same God that looked at Job and said, where were you when I created the world? That no matter what God calls you to, no matter how frightening, and to the flesh, it's fearful. I get this. I understand this. But I am a living testimony before you today that you can give everything to God. You can sacrifice everything to God. You can lay it all on the altar. And God is faithful. In conclusion, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gates. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Church, how on earth will we ever inspire people for the glory of God if we ourselves are not inspired by the glory of God?
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.